You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. It's a podcast about drafts, prospects, the future, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, all of them. This is the big one coming up on Thursday. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster extraordinaire and the guy called the man, Evan Jenkins. And Evan, man, it's like we've been hurrying up and waiting for so long. This is a lot of uncertainty about the top end of the draft. I saw the odds change today. You know, all of a sudden it's Walker from Georgia is the odds on. What are those folks in Vegas know? Are they going to try to make a little bit of money when it's Hutchinson anyway? You know, so it kind of makes me wonder what the heck is going on. And sometimes I've told you who exactly the Lions were going to pick. You know, people didn't believe me. I said it's going to be Eric Ebron. And it was. But I knew that, you know, pretty certain. And I knew about Ragnow a couple of years ago. I don't have any inside information to that degree this year. And everybody's speculating about everything, including evidently the dudes in Vegas about what Jacksonville is going to do. I wouldn't take Walker there. I think he's really good, and he did tremendous at the combine. But to me, he's not a difference maker. He's never shown that. Now, maybe he was on a defense that has six, seven first and second round picks off of that team from Georgia, but I just don't see it. I see him as a hand in the ground defensive end and not necessarily a wrecking ball. I see Hutchinson, I see Thibodeau, and I see Jermaine Johnson, being guys off the edge that could be more of a deciding factor. So, what does it mean for the Lions? Well, what it means for the Lions is scheme specific, and we're going to go over every one of their seven or eight picks today. They have eight picks that they're going to have on Thursday. Got to make sure I get the number right there. You know, real good options for them there. I know, you know, it's kind of hard to guess who's going to go where and what before them and all that, but I'll give you an idea where these players would be drafted and what would fit them. But I would say an edge rusher is going to go to the Lions one way or another. The difference between Hutchinson and Thibodeau is obvious. Hutchinson's more of a hand-on-the-ground defensive 3-4 end. Thibodeau's more of a stand-up linebacker edge type. So it's like comparing what Harris does for him or the Okorah brothers compared to what they get from Uzurike or whoever plays that spot that's at defensive end. On the offside shoulder of the guy. That doesn't mean one or the other is not going to ever put their hand on the ground or stand up. But those are the type of players that they are. Johnson's an edge rusher. Boye Mafe, who I think is a terrific player from Minnesota. Kaflikas from Purdue. These guys are really good, but they're stand-up guys as well. So that's the difference between them all. I think Walker's a hand-in-the-ground guy more, and Hutchinson is. And that's not mentioned enough when it comes down to it. And if you're asking me who I think the Lions are going to take, I will go with Thibodeau at second overall. I think he's going to be their pick. And if Hutchinson falls to him, it'll be him maybe. You know, but I'll still stick with Thibodeau because I don't know what they're thinking in Vegas. You know, I remember Sparky Anderson told me those guys really know what they're doing. And it's their life, but maybe they do.
It's kind of wild too because you think about the Jacksonville Jaguars all along. At first, it was Evan Neal. There was no doubt about it that they were going to go with the best left tackle they could get in order to protect their franchise quarterback Trevor Lawrence. And then it changed to Aiden Hutchinson, and then it's now changed come the week of to Walker, like you said, which is interesting. And the question I was going to ask you, you actually already answered, was do you think the Lions would still take Thibodeau over Hutchinson? And if so, I mean, that's kind of crazy. I mean,
well, I think sometimes regional bias comes into it. And 100%. I have, you know, Walker obviously going to Georgia has played at Jacksonville in the big, the world's biggest cocktail party against Florida and all that.
Yeah.
Jacksonville is right up at the top of the state. So there's a dynamic there where it's a lot of SEC, a lot of SEC. And here in Detroit, you know, obviously there's a lot of Big Ten. And, of course, with Brad Holmes and the folks that he brought in, there's a lot of Pac-12 situation, which we've talked about. Last year's draft was half Pac-12 picks.
And, by the way, I was not the only naive person on that, Pat, because I told it to Doug Karst the next morning, and he was like, you know what, I've never looked at it like that and put all the lines together. So that is, I mean, it's very, very intriguing, and I don't think Lion fans would be disappointed at all with the pick. I think if they went safety like they had talked about earlier months ago maybe, and quarterback, like then you might hear some grumblings. But I also fully buy into if we're going to trust Brad Holmes, you trust him with the pick, right?
And plus, look, I don't think there's a quarterback that has number two overall value.
Right.
I don't like Willis and some of the other, you know, I've talked about it. Sam Howell, I'm not so sold on Pickett. But there's a number of quarterbacks that I really like. Ritter, I've talked about Carson Strong. He'd be a real good value pick in, you know, second or third day, you know, probably third day if he's available, which I don't think he's going to do. He's the best passer, in my opinion, that's in this draft. But, it's edge rusher. It's a value of position. I think Madsoff Gardner is the best player.
Yeah, Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
Detroit King, Cincinnati.
That's
never
right.
Had a touchdown scored against them in college.
No, the numbers are phenomenal, and then his workout numbers were phenomenal. And when he stepped up against top competition, they played Notre Dame and Alabama.
Yeah.
He was top-notch in those games, too. So I think he's fabulous. And I like him more than I like Stingley and McDuffie, these other corners that McDuffie's from Washington, and some of the other corners that are available in the draft, Elam and some others. So that's how I look at it. And then, it's going to be an edge rusher. And don't be surprised if it's somebody that isn't the main guy either. You know,
Johnson from, is it Florida State?
Florida State.
I've been hearing his name a lot.
Well, he was really, really good at the Senior Bowl. And obviously the Lions had their coaching staff there. About him, he was a transfer from Georgia.
Okay.
You know, who big-time recruit and big-time athlete. So, and like I tell you, man, those Georgia guys are hard to judge. They're like the Alabama guys. You know, they have so many really good players, and Georgia's defense unquestionably does. It's hard to tell whether, you know, like the lack of production. You know,
who benefits from who, really?
Right. Compared to somebody who's at Florida State, which was, they were garbage, man. They've gone completely off the radar. There was almost a mutiny on the team.
It's crazy.
And this guy was the best defensive player in a really bad defensive league overall. the offense dominated in the ACC last year the same way used to be and still is to a degree in the Big 12.
Okay.
So that's how I look at that pick. As far as 32 goes, I think, you know, when you're looking at that pick, it shouldn't be a decision on need. Lions, obviously, if it becomes one or the other, they need defense more than offense. They need a receiver, though, that's an outside receiver. So, and I think he's going to fall to them. So I would say the receiver from Arkansas, Trevon Burks, is going to be the player that'll be there at 32. And when he is, the Lions will snatch him up, and he'd be a wonderful complement for them. And but there's a number of different ways you could go at 32 overall. And if it's defense, you know, there's a number of safeties. Seen from Georgia, Brisker from Penn State, linebackers. You know, one of those linebackers falls. I don't see it happening, but say Devin Lloyd or somebody falls because maybe they're a little older or they're inside backers and everybody starts drafting on defensive backs and all that. Somebody along those lines, that's how I look at it. There's a kid from Georgia you got to watch out for, Trey Walker, who is another guy from Georgia that is kind of being underrated as far as his potential. Wyatt from Georgia, if they're not too concerned about some off-the-field issues, a three-technique tackle. The Lions could use all those things, and there's a plethora of corners there, and it depends if one of them falls into their lap, Booth or somebody like that from Clemson, that I would be looking at.
And it's kind
of. But I'll go with the wide receiver at 32 just in this mock draft.
And it's a blessing, too, because then two picks later, you're right back on the clock, right? So, I mean, you really do have the luxury of looking at a handful of guys and thinking, which guy is more likely to be here in two spots, right?
Right.
So, I mean, they're in a very, very good position come the end of Thursday night and the start of the draft on Friday, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's exciting. But what do you think now 32 and 34 are kind of interchangeable about what we just talked about, where all those same positions will probably be in play then?
Yeah, but I'm going to go against the grain here. All right.
Ooh, I like it.
All right. And what I think is going to happen with it, there's been all this talk about, hey, you know what? You got to take quarterback in the first round, and then the second one you take at 34.
Oh, because the extra year of control.
The extra year of control, you know, the option year. But I think at 34, the Lions might take a quarterback. But I'm not going to go in that direction. I'm going to say that the Lions with the 34th pick in the draft will take Dax Hill from Michigan.
Okay. And now that's not biased because he's from here, right? No, I'm he's an unbelievable athlete. Like, you look at him with the measurables and everything. And at Michigan, they always had him on the best receiver out there, not necessarily had to play safety, but it shows he can do multiple things. And me, as not a fan of that school in Ann Arbor, I can admit that he's one hell of a football player.
Well, I think he's a solid player. He never lived up to, hey, man, five-star recruit from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, the greatest thing since, Derrick Green, the running back who's a five, or Shane Morris, the five-star quarterback.
Or Kareem Walker.
Yeah, Kareem Walker's another one.
Don't get me started, Pat.
Okay. But actually, he was a pretty good player. And what you mentioned about him covering other receivers, I think he gives them a certain amount of flexibility. And he's definitely got the athleticism. And what I like about Dax Hill is not so much, you know, some of his lack of playmaking. I mean, like ball hawking,
yeah,
a bit of a concern. But I like the way he tackles.
He doesn't shy away from contact.
No,
that's for sure.
He's a hard-nosed kid with extraordinary athleticism. And I think if you put him in the right situation and use him the right way, he's a value pick there. And I think he may fall to him.
I think a benefit of him, too, is having the NFL pedigree with his brother already in the NFL, being a running back with Baltimore. But just the fact of knowing how the business already goes. You know what I mean? where that is such a huge upside when you can draft a player that understands it, that it is a business, but at the same time it's still a game, and how to come into workouts and everything like that. To have that, I think, is always a bonus.
And at the first third round pick, right?
Number 66.
That's where I have the Lions taking a quarterback.
Okay.
The Lions taking Carson Strong from Nevada at 66th overall.
Now, he's a quarterback that was talked a lot in that group of, what, 5-6 guys. And what I always heard, I think you may have even said it, is that he had the best, like, NFL arm coming in. And
I still think that about him.
Okay. And I mean, that's what you
there
want.
Was nothing that happened at the Senior Bowl practices, and there was nothing that happened in the Senior Bowl game or pro workouts that has me questioning that at all.
Yeah.
The question is, when you really examine it, you know, that knee, it's concerning. I mean, he hurt his knee, just so you know, playing a basketball, an elite basketball player. He hurt it in a summer game, mm-hmm. AAU game or something along those lines. He's from California originally. And it's really a tough injury. He isn't mobile. He isn't going to tuck the ball in and run out of the pistol. That's not what he does. And he is somebody that is not great escapability. So those are two minuses that teams aren't going to like. But what's really good about him is when he's in the pocket, he can sling it. And he's a good athlete overall. It's just that injury.
Yeah, it limits what you can do after that.
Limits. But what kind of offense are they running?
Oh, they're running the most pro offense impossible. To build the pocket around their quarterback. If anything, step up from pressure, not try to move around laterally.
What do they have that's a strength? Offensive line.
And I think the Bengals are a good example, because look at Joe Burrow, right? Who's coming off of a knee injury himself in ACL. He's not a particularly
not anymore
guy.
He was before, yeah.
And it's the same thing. Get the ball in a pocket, quick release, boom.
I love this kid's. You know, the boy, the ball comes out of his hand. You know, it's so. I would say that's where they would go and roll the dice and take a quarterback.
All right, I like it. Now we're going to stay in the third round. And it's pick number 97. I think the chime's like, dun, 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 dun.
97. Oh, man. That's, it's going to be a tough pick. But if they take Burks, but I'm going to go with somebody that, I've thought a lot about. And somebody that I think is going to be an excellent NFL player. And I think he's somebody that, may be there. When the Lions pick in that particular spot in the draft, and it's somebody that, is this guy going to end up being a star? I think there is a certain amount of upside in this particular kid. And his name is, I think I got his name, Tarik Woolen. He's one of the better players that I saw last year. He plays for one of the really surprised teams in the country, and that was University of Texas San Antonio.
Okay, they did make waves this year that nobody expected.
Right, and this is a corner who can do a lot of different things, was productive, has a lot to, going for him in a number of ways. And he is somebody who's got big size. Has got a big wingspan. The only downside on him that I think is going to drop him is that he's older, that okay. He played, 5 years of college football.
But it's not necessarily a bad thing, too, because, if you look at the average span of NFL player, you're lucky to get 5 years, right? And sometimes when you draft those upperclassmen, and those are the rookies that I see sometimes coming out and really starting, because they can pick up the game, they understand the game a little bit more, and they're a little bit more mature to where they think they have more to lose than the first and second round guys.
Well, let's put it this way. They took Mfawu, did I pronounce that right?
The corner?
From Syracuse last year. kind of a similar MO. This guy's 6 foot four and he runs a sub 4.340. He's only played cornerback for a couple years and he's older. But to me, his athleticism is something, you know, even though he's 23 years old relatively inexperienced and didn't play at a Power 5 school, he was on a team that was very successful, did extraordinarily well, and has the type of tools that a lot of times develop into great NFL. I like bigger corners. And one of the things with the Lions, a lot of times they've had small corners who are getting beat on balls.
50-50 balls. Yeah. And I mean, that would be exciting, to be honest with you. I don't remember the Lions really having a tall corner like that. I mean, the first one that comes to my mind is probably like Merton Hanks with the 49ers, but that's going to show my age. But
to me, he's a physical freak.
And that's great. And you know what? And sometimes that's worth taking. I'm not going to say it's a huge chance, but that's worth taking a chance on, right?
Yes.
Raw physical abilities with things that you necessarily can't teach, right? You can't teach height. You can't teach speed. Those are things that are just gifted to you. And if you're confident in your coaching staff, then you should be confident that you can mold a kid like that to what you want him to be. But now they don't have a fourth-round pick.
That's
so we're
right.
going to jump to the fifth. And if my math is correct, this is 80 picks later at pick 177.
Well, that's pretty far down the old draft board there, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, a lot goes on during those 80 picks.
Yeah, I mean, and there's runs on different positions, and there are a number of different players. But there's a wide receiver that I really like. And yeah, you might know who this guy is.
Oh.
And I think he's going to be available there. And I thought he was one of the more underrated players in the Big Ten. From Rutgers, Bo Melton.
Yeah, I mean, he was a threat for them, big time.
I mean, it seemed like every time he played, I watched Bo Melton play, and, you know, obviously you see him against Michigan and Michigan State and then other Big Ten games. He was pretty good. He looked like he matched up well.
Yeah.
So he's a player that could drop. He's got some outside speed. And I think he'd be a real good player for the Lions if he were in that spot as a fifth-round pick.
It would fit in nicely because, I mean, when I think of a Big Ten receiver, I'm going to instantly mention just one that they have on their team in Cephas. And that's a kid that maybe didn't have all the measurables coming out of college. I mean, he wasn't a blazing fast guy. But I do see when he is on the field, I know he got hurt last year, but he's been pretty darn productive. Even as a rookie, I know – you know, the first couple games, Matthew Stafford was targeting him over and over and over. So I like that pick. I actually thought you were going to say Jalen Naylor, to be honest with you. But that's a kid I personally would stay away from because I feel like every time he's on a football field, he's a risk to get hurt. And I feel bad for that.
To be honest, I know Naylor had some good games, but I always thought Reed was their best receiver.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, Naylor had some big plays, you know.
He had the big
jump sweep against Arizona State and some big plays, obviously in the Miami game and all.
Like every time he stepped on the floor, yeah. Or that he would just, whether it was his foot or his hand, anyway. So I'll get off of that, but I do like that pick. So that would be their second wide receiver that they would go after, and I don't mind that at all because you're right, Pat. We just talked about it with the offensive line being a strength. You think that the running game is better than average as long as they stay healthy. I mean, knock on wood, that's what every NFL team is saying. And, I mean, Jared Goff got better at the end of the year with more weapons, with Josh Reynolds was out there and helped him out, and he just seemed a little bit more comfortable. Now, we're not looking for the Lions to be like a 10-win team or anything, but just to see the incline instead of what we've seen, which has been looking like the stock market up and down, up and down, and up and down with mostly downs. But we're going to go then jump ahead to the sixth round. It's only four picks later, and that is pick number 181 for the Lions. This will be their seventh pick.
Well, Lions are in a position where you start to look for the best defensive backs that are available. And just looking at the different defensive backs that are available, one of the guys that I look at is a kid from Missouri. And again, it's his name's Akilib Evans from Missouri.
You got Evans right. I can guarantee that.
I guarantee that. Well, it's AKA LEB. I've seen the highlights of it in him and heard him talked about. But he's a corner who, and again, when you're talking about, say, you're taking, you got a couple corners that are big. Mm-hmm. You got the possibility of flipping into the safety, and then you can take this kid. I thought he did well. Again, he's on a team that struggled in a conference that is really, you know, superior.
Yeah.
And I thought that he was a guy that you should look at. Akhalib Evans from Missouri.
Well, and you know what, too, because we've mentioned multiple players in the defensive secondary, and if anybody wants to quit, well, why would they go and do that? Just go look at Brad Holmes' first draft with their second-round pick and third-round pick both being defensive tackles. He does not mind, because I feel what you said to start this podcast today, Pat, was just the fact of Brad Holmes needs to take what he can get, right? The best of what he can get. You can't be trying to nail down a position, because that one position is not going to put you over the hump and all of a sudden we're going to have that first playoff win, right?
Right.
Since 1991, that's not going to happen, and it's a progression. So I like that. Now, Pat, it's the final pick. It's round six. They don't have a seventh rounder. So it's a Saturday afternoon. You're not going to have to sit by the TV all day.
Well, you never know. You might end up with some deals that always happen that way.
Sure. I wish it was like the NBA where they traded for like $150,000.
Oh, you miss the old days when the draft was all in one day. They served us lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. It wasn't too bad.
You know what? My whole life, it has always been at least 2 days. It was always a Saturday and Sunday, and now, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But it's pick number 217, so it'd be the Lions, Mr. Irrelevant, but I have a feeling that he's not going to be irrelevant and will make the team. It's not going to be like drafts of past where they have, like, long snappers that don't make the squad.
Well, to me, this is a guy that is an underrated player. Was tremendous. Again, not a Power 5 conference guy. His name is Isaiah Likely, a tight end from Coastal Carolina.
You're saying he's likely to be a Lion?
He's likely to be a Lion.
Couldn't resist.
You know, if you watch that team, and I'm sure a lot of people did, he was somebody that was very productive. Obviously, they had a very good team. You know, they had the big win over BYU in the pandemic year, top program. He looked good at different events in the offseason, you know, postseason. So Isaiah Likely, and I think they're going to be more prone to take a tight end than what you think. Again, you got to understand the way their offense is set up. The one thing I really like that Dan Campbell's done is he's gotten ahead of the curve. And I've talked about it. You know, everybody thinks Dan Campbell is just some caricature of, like, hey, bite their kneecaps, and he just wants tough, rugged guys. Dan Campbell was smart as a coach last year. That's what I liked about him. It wasn't the other auxiliary stuff. And it was going to tighter formations and taking advantage of what the league is going to now. Defenses have adjusted to spread fields.
Yeah.
Okay, they've realized that what's your best friend in a spread field? The sideline. So now teams, what they're doing is tightening their formations and taking advantage of that extra space.
Sure.
They have a fullback. They use a fullback. So, they use a lot of double tight end formations. And they need a tight end. TJ Hockenson is in his... You know, a situation where you're either going to decide to keep him for long term or not. And
he's,
I thought,
in
his
money making season is what he's in.
And I don't know if his production was very good last year, to be honest with you. His blocking really slipped. So he looked thinner and not as strong for whatever reason. And I don't think he was ever a stellar blocker at the NFL level anyway.
And are you willing to make him that highly of a paid tight end when your team still needs a lot more?
And their tight ends aren't really that, you know, fulfilling or good.
Well, and with what they're trying to do, it's exactly what you said, is pound it. And, I mean, in all reality, it looks like Dan Campbell's almost looking for a tight end like he was when he played. You know, play your position, block, 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 and guess what? You might catch 20 passes a year. Now, I know the NFL has shifted with the Kelseys, the Kittles, the Kyle Pitts, but that's not what the Lions are trying to do.
Yeah, and this kid is somebody that you see a lot of tight ends. You say, who the heck is that guy? This is one of those guys, if he drops to that degree, and I think there are a lot of folks who have him rated, you know, lower than this, and there are others who say he's going to go later. If he drops there, I think that's somebody they could take, and he's somebody that I've really been impressed with as a player. So
the next Joe Fourier could be on his way. Just hope he doesn't play volleyball, right?
Yeah, well, you know. But, yeah, you know, Joe Fourier, that was kind of weird.
That was odd. I mean, a monster of a man. Most NFL tight ends are just massive human beings, but he was like 6'8", 240. Oh, he caught like 8 touchdowns and had like 20 catches on the year.
Yeah, and then he tripped over his dog, and it was never the same.
Never.
So another classic Lions story.
So next week, Pat, we're going to talk about all these picks, right? I mean, right. I'm excited for it. I don't expect to get much sleep Thursday night, not much Friday night, but who cares, right? And hopefully the Lions are coming away with a good grade, at least from us, right?
Right. And so there you go. There you give you an idea what the Lions draft may look like. So I'm expecting an edge rusher. I'm expecting a couple wide receivers. I'm expecting a tight end. On offense, I think that's where they're going to focus in on. And I do think defensively they'll address pretty much every position, but I'm not expecting them just to draft a bunch of defensive players.
Right.
So, and these are the guys that I would look at in those particular rounds. Hey, thanks for listening. Now, check us out. You can get us at the iTunes store, the Google store, Odyssey.com.
971theticket.com.
Right.
Stitcher. I mean, anywhere you can get your podcast, you can download us. Like it, subscribe, tell your friends, download it.
Absolutely. And we do it on all the sports. We'll be doing it on the MLB draft, the NHL draft.
And my personal favorite, the NBA draft.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And we do it about the prospects, Tiger prospects, the Red Wing prospects, go through different things when the summer comes with the Pistons and what happens in the summer there.
We talk Addison Reyes and Kristen. Why can't I remember his name right now? The big rookie that they got. Anyway, we'll talk all about the Tigers.
Yeah, we got all kinds of different things that we'll be discussing this summer and in the fall and next winter. So we appreciate it. Again, it's Bustin' Balls. We appreciate you listening. And check us out next week after the draft. And we'll see if Lions ever take some of these guys I mentioned. You never know.
Kristen Santana, there we go. That's who I was talking about.
Yeah, the shortstop.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah, Evan loves those guys.
I love them.
He loves them when I bring them up. Anyway, till next time, we'll see you.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.